Blog Talk Radio.
PM. It's ready for our segment for today. While we're waiting, I just want to read some news or talk about some other things besides our topic today. I was listening to or watching TV today. They talked about it's closer to elections. That's what it's what 15, 13 days. It's all talks about. If Sarah Palin is getting a fair treatment from the media, I'm gonna throw some one of my what I think about it, and I believe it's because of the media, like CNN and everything. Oh, those are left wing and Democrats, MSNBC, the NBC, ABC, and all of them. And, of course, it's going to get an unfair treatment because they don't want the Republican to be in the office again. And that's the only thing that I can think of. Not because she's a woman. Well, just because it's also, that's something to do with that, because she's a conservative Christian. So she's being attacked. The things that I want to talk about later on today, just waiting on one of my co-hosts, Colin, will be the Generation X. Why do I want to spend so much time with this Generation X? Who are the Generation X? They are the siblings or offsprings, of baby boomers. They're roughly defined as anyone, just like myself. I'm 33, so anyone who was born from between 1965 and 1980, and there's only 46 millions of Generation Xers, that's low. Comparison to the baby boomers and the millennials. The millennials. The millennials is also known as Generation Y. Because the baby boomers has 80 million in there, and then the millennials is 78 million. Being the Generation Xers. Those are people that, grew up with this, the MySpace era thing, the Facebook, the internet stuff. We still are the driving force of this internet and this new technology. When you say Google or, YouTube and all that Web 2.0. The millennial is actually, they're there, but the they're not. I guess they're not as cool as like us. if you're born between 1965 or 1980, you are the Generation X. So To today's teens and a 20-something, you know, we just love stuff like, you know, the celebrities, the medias, technologies, and also the brand names. And they are basically what we're doing with you know, the media, the TV, the radio, and all that telling us to do it. Basically, we do it. You know, as far as what to dress, how do we supposed to look like, you know, like, man, the magazine out there, you know, they set the standard when it comes to the appearance of what, you know, what's beauty is about. And that's kind of, you know, not fair. Because back in the day, you know, like, the generation before the baby boomers, there was, you know, where the Marilyn Monroe, I guess, is not a baby boomer, because that's, you know, that's barely, like, that's years ago. So, I mean, it's basically, that's, you know, we have the oldies and the you know, the C's, the P's, and let's hugs and peace, not love, you know, peace, not war, you know, stuff like that. And then, you know, they say something, I think, instead of the Generation Xers, we got, you know, we got so many things besides love. And we do not believe of any kind of the things that, you know, the other, like some baby boomers. It's getting hot in here. Wow. That's, you know, the thing in here. Like I said, you know, the generation is the one that has to, you know, really think about the future here, because it's, I mean, you got to admit that baby boomers are going to retire, and they are going to get old, whether they like it or not, and their time will come, you know. And of course, they deny that, and they're going to do whatever they want, whatever they can, I mean, to slow or stop the aging. I mean, you can see that, the, you know, that a lot of technology and medicines out there are taking advantage of that. And that's the only thing. If you have money, you can do whatever you want. I mean, there's baby boomers out there that are, you know, in their 60s and still healthy. I mean, that's very, I think that's just a very small amount of a percentage of it. But to those who, you know, to those baby boomers that want to take care of themselves, I mean, they go out there and they don't mess around. That's what I'm trying to say. The millennials now, it's something that, you know, what it all comes down to is that Generation Xers they have a lot to learn from the baby boomers, and it's vice versa. You know, the baby boomers has lots to learn from that Generation Xers. Although the Generation Xers are labeled to be, you know, those lazy, that, you know the Beavis and Butthead era, where, you know, the backs losers and MTV. I remember that, like, back in the 80s, and MTV, that was really cool. It was like music television. Oh, wow. the Wayne's World, that kind of thing, that Kurt Cobain, you know. That's what the Generation X's are. That's kind of their era. That's our time. You know, that the baby boomers were the Beatles. You know, I mean, that's basically a lot of stuff of. Can you hold on real quick? Hold on just a second. We'll be right back. I would like to thank you for just just hanging around here, and we are we're just going into our segment here. Now we as I mentioned, we are just going on a topic about the Generation X and what Generation X can learn from the baby boomers, and the baby boomers what vice versa what they can learn. I would like to welcome co-host. You can go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, man. Just just getting here. I'm getting this together. So what?
Let's go.
Yeah, what's new with you? What did you do today?
Oh, I'm in the middle of some heavy moving with a good friend of mine. He's getting into a new place here in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin.
Did you move some couches?
Oh yeah, the whole deal, up and down stairs, all around.
Yeah.
Beds, box springs, the whole deal, man. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
It's been a pretty wild day, man. I've been...
Yeah, that's a wild day today. That's me too. I just got out from work. It was, it's wild. You know how that goes.
I know.
We have a couple of listeners online right now that want to know, that, like I said, the segment we want to talk about is Generation X and the baby boomers and what the baby boomers can learn from the Generation X and vice versa. But we'll go into that in a little segment here. What I want to do is just maybe have a couple questions. Here's some questions I want to ask you about. Who's Jay Bell, man? What is this Guy Moutard and what's your background?
Well, my the I'll start with the Jay Bell.
Jay
Bell, that's kind of personality development, It's not a
gangster,
Right. Yeah, no, it's not gangster, but it's kind of taken, what you're giving it. Yeah, right. it's taking what you're given at birth, your name, and you just kind of playing around with it and turning it into your own thing. And
right.
Actually, it's gonna play around with what I'm gonna talk about today. But as for background, yeah, I went to UW Madison. I was an art student as well as a psych student. And the interesting thing about that is transitioning from psychology to art, so transitioning from something that's highly strict in a sense to something that's completely open. It kind of gives you both sides of the same coin. It kind of allows you to see the world from two different perspectives. And, going from hanging around in the classroom with some decently uptight individuals to hanging out with what I would consider to be new age hippies. That's quite a transition. I went to school there. I was there for 5 years. Learned a lot. I wouldn't say I learned as much in the classroom as I did outside of the classroom. That's the whole, that's kind of the whole college thing. It's like,
that's right.
Most of the people that I know that didn't spend all their time in the library, sitting in with their heads in the books,
right,
were the people that actually got the true experience of college. And UW-Madison has a lot of diversity, so it was an interesting experience in my life.
Yeah.
It kind of opened me up to a lot of the research I do today. And Guy Moutard Inc. is just kind of the brainchild of the new ideology of using the internet using the internet
and
to kind of
expanding the horizon of exploring the internet. That's the only thing what other people want to do, because a lot of people sometimes. I run into people that don't have, once in a while, people that don't have email, they don't know what YouTube is, they don't know what the Web 2.0, and it's the steps, like you're saying, that exploring that and the horizon of exploring the internet, deeper into that. And you and I believe that internet is still in infancy, you know, still
still it's a baby. It's definitely a baby, you know, it's like, you know, like right now I kind of see it as, you know, baby gets a new rattle, you know, it's like, baby gets a new rattle, but, it's still a baby,
still
you know, it's
still in the
right. Exactly. I mean, we're just starting. I mean, I would say we're on the cusp of, you know, like a great exploration into what the internet can really do to us. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
I refer to it. I'm working on an essay right now, just to kind of refer to the internet as what I would consider the new arc. You know, the arc that's going to kind of take us to new horizons, new places, new things. You know, this old ideology and the baby boomers. You know, they kind of fit into this old ideology
mm-hmm.
of, you know, I go to the store. And I, you know, and they want the customer service, you know, that the, you know, that their parents had, you know, and it's just
exactly
those days are kind of over, you know. It's like you can still have that, but I mean, you know, most people are doing their shopping on the internet now. So I mean, it's just
it's more and more too. It was like statistics was done, and there was the staggering numbers and how you know how much or the money that was put into online shopping. Like comparison to the previous year, you know, and like
mm-hmm.
you said, it's more and more into expanding into to better things, you know, the better things. Now, what I want to touch into that, you know, we talked about a couple days ago about the you know the difference between the baby boomers and the generation X's, you know, when it comes to the you know, the time frame or the time slot in there. Do you think if you have questions to like baby boomers or Generation X when it comes to their lifestyle, well, you know, do you have anything to any thoughts on that?
Like specifically talking about
I'm sorry, I should rephrase my question. As far as like plugging into the internet, you know. What can you? Can you like put in the Generation X and the baby boomers? What do you think they should do?
Well, the funny thing is last night I was actually in Mount Horeb and we'd stopped down at one of the local pubs, me and my friend Alex, and we got into a pretty great conversation with one of the guys who worked there,
right?
And we were actually kind of talking about all this stuff, and it's great to get different perspectives from different people. You know, I don't like to sit on the internet and go, wow, that's a great idea, and then just you know hold it to myself. I like to you know talk to other people
mm-hmm.
about it and get different perspectives. So when I was talking to this gentleman last night. He was kind of giving his perspective on baby boomers, you know, and he's just talking about like baby boomers and the internet, and he's like, well, think about this. Me and him are both generation, I would say XY, you know, like we're in between, like we're not quite Generation X, but we're not quite Generation Y. We're kind of in between, so
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like this. You're able to kind of see it, I guess, through a little bit different eyes than somebody who's very site specific to what's going on. So, anyways, we got talking about I was mentioning this article that I was reading and he's talking about Generation Y and like how the Generation Y, you know, that like basically they don't differentiate between the internet and the actual
mm-hmm.
companies. So if they go to an internet site for a company like let's say Kohl's.
And
they're like this website sucks. They will just move on and they will not shop at Kohl's.
Yeah.
Like they don't differentiate that. See the baby boomers do.
Exactly.
And the funny thing is what's going on right now is like for the baby boomers is they're shopping. They're shopping
mm-hmm.
on sites that Generation X, Generation XY, and Generation Y that they're not touching, which is like your Macy's and your JCPenney. Like
exactly.
You're making, yeah, and like the guy that worked down at the pub, you know, he actually worked for a famous footwear Exactly. And he was kind of talking about their internet sales and how like shoes.com, you know, mm-hmm. it does a great amount of business without really having to put much work into it at all. You know, like
exactly.
it's basically there right. still. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to cut you out. Hey, what I'm going to do is take a caller. I have a caller hang on online right
sure.
now. Go ahead, caller number two.
Sure.
Yeah. Can you hear the caller?
I cannot hear the caller myself, no.
All right.
Can you hear me now?
I'm sorry about that.
I hear you now. I do hear you now.
Do you think that baby boomers, what ages are baby boomers usually between?
Baby boomers are going to be, as of right now, they're age 40, I think it's like 42 to 48 and higher. It's kind of these mm-hmm. weird lines. Like they don't have like everything's kind of weird because the like the Midwest is a little bit different than like the East Coast and the West Coast. But the average age is about 40. It's I would say 45 and up would be your baby boomer class.
So what would be the age for the like the X and the Y generation? What would the ages for that be?
All right, before you answer, let me throw into something over here real quick. You know, there's Jeff was saying that there's, you know, kind of a confusion when it comes to defining or giving a definition with the baby boomers when it comes in years. But the majority of that, 1946 and 1964 will be your baby boomers, you know, whether they take it or not, you know, whether
okay.
like the, so that's your baby boomers. And because I think you were asking about years. So what was your second question again?
And then what would be the, like, the years that the, so you're saying between 1946 and 1964 is when the baby boomers were born. What about the Generation X and Generation Y? What years would they be born?
Oh, the year, I'm going to ask this, Jeff, real quick. The Generation X, the Generation X is like myself. I'm 33 years old. How old are you now, caller?
29.
So you'd be falling into the same category, then so is Jeff. We all Generation X's, and that's from the year 1965 through 1980. That's how they define the definition of the Generation X's. And then the year after that would be the Generation Y, or what they call millennials.
Okay.
Yeah, and then there's two parts to the Y generation as well. There's the millennials, which goes up until 1991, and then after 1991 is the Echo Boomers, which
oh,
is like
okay.
it's kind of like a second gen baby boomer because there was another surge in births after 91. So
oh,
exactly.
Okay.
And to sum it all up, I mean, it's if you compare that, you know, population-wise, you know, that there's like, 70 million in the baby boomers, and excuse me, 80 million in the baby boomers, you know, that numbers, and there's about 79 or 70-something like that in the Generation Y and the Generation in the millennials. But the Generation X is only, there's only 46 million.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the funny, and I was gonna say too, the funny thing about Gen Xers is the main thing that kind of fell onto their plate was like the main staple point of their generation is they they basically sat and watched the baby boomers like do all the things that they're like, oh, we're gonna have to fix this later, you know, like basically Generation X is like, yeah, you can have that type of lifestyle. But, yeah, we're going to have to deal with that at some point, you know, which is kind of what's happening
yeah.
now. Corrections in the market and everything that's been going on economically is due to the baby boomers basically coming into retirement, you know?
Exactly. And then that's, you know, would that answer your question? Hello? Oh, okay.
Hello?
Loser? Are you still there?
Hello? Yeah. Thanks for the help.
All right. thank you. So yeah, as I was talking about the you know, how like you know the laziness or the they call the what do you call it? You know, they always refer to it as to the Generation Xers as in as you know they call it like a lot of names and categories and you know the what do you call that? You know, I don't know if it's, you know, just like from, I mean, that's, when you listen to, I lost my notes over here. See what I mean? It's like, you can't, like, just do this. You got
it's really hard to really kind of dive into this stuff because there's so much terminology that goes along with each generation and the gaps and like and the dates and the ages and you know it kind of all adds up and it's a ton of information. So basically, if you'll allow me just for a couple minutes, I'm gonna throw some stuff at you about Generation Y, you know, since
these are the millennials. Like okay, that would be offspring of the Generation X.
Yes, that would be offspring of the Gen Xers. And the reason why I want to talk about Gen Y a little bit is because, you know, it came out in USA Today that Gen Y basically sits on top of the consumer food chain currently due to the amount of money they can place into the market, and that's your 14 to 24-year-old. Now, the question comes up, how the heck can, you know, like 14-year-olds have the spending capacity of the of such a large consumer base, and the reason why that is because the parenting is different. The parenting allows the kids to make actually more of the decisions for the purchases in the family than actually the parents do. So I mean, like what you're seeing is you're seeing Generation Xers. They're actually more you know friends with their children
right.
than the high parental unit. That we considered like the, you know, like the baby boomers, like the baby boomers and Gen Xers. It's like there's this transition that's been going on for a while now, which allows the Gen Ys to sit on top of the consumer food chain. And you know, actually, there's a great book on like since we're talking about market and I'm assuming most of the callers and the people listening would like to you know. Think about basically what we're going to do to make money in the future economy, and there's a great book that's coming out. So like if you're going to focus on something, you should focus on, you know, like the top of the consumer base. So you can, you know, market to those that, you know, you can basically do business with most of the time. So there's a great book out, and it's actually called The Ten Commandments. You know, that's a funny wordplay, obviously, there. You know, and it's basically the ten demandments, rules to live by in the age of a demanding customer. And, like, the only other point I want to touch on with these, the Generation Y, since they are top of the consumer food chain currently in the market, the thing that most people should know about it, and this goes out to the baby boomers that might be listening or Generation Xers that might be moving, listening in, to the show, basically with this Generation Y, they want a product that is tailored to them. So
right.
they want to feel like, you know, I'm not getting middle of the street type of products. They want to feel like it's special. They want to have some type of a speciality within the product, And the funny thing is some people are doing this adjustment. They're adjusting the way they sell products to fit.
Exactly. Yeah, the company is actually trying to tailor to that, trying to, you know, cater to the baby boomers and Generation Xers and the Generation Y. You know, whether it be like a Happy Meal in McDonald's, you know what I mean? Whether it be like an anti-aging stuff and. That can kill a wrinkle or whatnot. I'm having a problem with my system over here now, so I don't know if he's going to cut off, but go ahead, John. I mean, John, but Jeff, yeah. Your name's John right now, Jeff. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's okay. That's, Yeah, basically, you know, I'm losing my notes. See, that's what happens.
My stuff over here is going crazy. I don't know why, because I hang up with that caller, and just trying to hang her up, and it just keeps saying that the system does something to us. So, but hopefully this is getting, you know, lived and podcast up, but anyway, but it looks like it's going, so.
I can jump into a couple other things too if you want me to. I can go ahead and kind of talk about.
Let's talk about the, you know, what they can do, you know, to not be left behind when it comes to like the technology and you know the internet, you know.
Sure. Yeah. Specifically to baby boomers, and actually this, now that I'm getting back into my notes here, this is what I was gonna hit on, is from Generation Y to the baby boomers. It has been stated. I mean, it has been labeled as fact now that Generation Y can actually process the information on websites. How to do, you know, basically set up your blogging, set up your MySpace, set up all these things. They're 5 times faster. So that means the baby boomers are literally 5 times behind, like with closing the technology gap. So basically, if I was going to promote something to the baby boomers, I would say, you know, if you want to keep up in the market, you want to keep up with what's going on, you have to let those fears go of technology, because it is fear. I mean, it is fear because, I mean, even my what I really noticed when I was a kid was that with my grandparents, they don't even want to touch a TV controller. You know, they don't even want to touch it because they're afraid they'll break it. Right? They think they're gonna do something. Yeah. You know, they think they're gonna do something wrong, and all of a sudden the thing's gonna blow up, or you know, like they, you know, they don't even want to touch it. They're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, they don't even want to go near it. And
what is that? What do you mean, electronic mail?
what is email, and then it's so funny because like the technology is developing so fast that if they don't start closing the gap, all of a sudden you're going to see you know, factoids coming out that are like, oh yeah, now the baby boomers are actually 10 times behind, you know, because the processing is just going to pick up faster and faster and faster. And I know,
exactly.
Like, it's like reading books, man. It's like if you read a book, like you're going to pick up on other books that much faster. So like the technology thing, you can't stay away from it. It's here to stay. It's going to keep evolving. The best thing to do, it's not like you got to sit down and be all serious about it. Like, I'm going to sit down today, you know, for half an hour and, you know, sit in front of the computer and learn how to use Microsoft Word. It's not like that. It's just there's steps you can take where you involve technology more and more and more. So instead of writing a letter, which I don't even know too many people that do that anymore, you know, instead of do that, you know, sit and type it up on the computer and email it, you know, and get out there. And if you have an email and you know other baby boomers, you go, hey, what's your email? And if they're like, what's that? Then you talk about it. And then that, you know, that helps move them along, and that helps you move you along, because the more you talk about something, the more you get used to it, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is what I would suggest. I mean, just kind of try to submerse yourself
in.
Yeah,
trying to plug in. I mean, you know, like, don't, it's has something to do with the ego and pride sometimes. You know, people don't want to ask, you know, like, especially when you're, you know, old and wise, you know, your label's an old and wise, and, you know, you're asking the Generation X or the Y, your grandchildren, like, yeah, you know, how do you open MySpace? You know, I mean, I mean, why would you need a MySpace if you're 70 years old? but as far as like email and as far as like ordering things online, I mean, I don't think they should be afraid of that, because it's like I've said that and meant to a lot of people that sometimes they would have their arguments like, oh, I don't trust the internet, I don't shop on the internet. You know, I'm like, well. You know, when you go to restaurants, you give your ID or credit card to your server or waiter or waitress. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the same thing. I mean, it's like you got to know what you're doing. You know, you have to be able to determine if the sites are active or legit. You know what I mean? So it's the same thing as going out there, and the same thing as going online. Just like that's why eBay is so there's so strict when things when it comes to if it goes to the website of the PayPal. Mm-hmm. There's so many things going on with that. Now I want to jump in a lot on the question here about the what do you think that, you and I as a Generation Xer, and what do you think we can learn from the baby boomer as far as the as far as like retirement or as far as like the financial, I mean, can we learn from them?
Well, I can tell you words to live by at this point. Don't trust that. Don't trust that Social Security check to be coming in, because it's probably not that train's probably not coming back. You know, it's
going downhill. And it's
right,
going
exactly.
Bad.
I mean, I think what we can learn, I mean, and I'll reference my family because, you spend so much time with your family, at least you should,
mm-hmm.
Like what I've learned from my family is like this old mentality of I'm going to get a job and I'm going to stay there and then I'll get to retire. Well, look what's happening. Okay. The
mm-hmm.
retirement age is being pushed back.
And
when you do retire, yeah. What's that?
67. I think they pushed it to 67.
Yeah, they pushed it back. It'll be 102 by the time we're like
oh
in our 70s. You know, they'll be like, well, we'll just pump you full of some of these super vitamins, and you can work till you're 102 and be a Walmart greeter. You know, I don't think so.
Right. Yeah.
But no, I think what we can learn is you can see it. There's been a communication breakdown, a communication
mm-hmm.
gap, and the internet is the new tool we can use to
mm-hmm.
to break down those walls. You know, the walls of the nuclear family, as it was
right,
that began in the 1950s, and you need this connection. Like you need to make connections. You need to diversify what you learn, where you work, what you do. Like my focus now is I'm not working because I want to be with, I want to be with that company and I want to stay with them for 20 plus years and
yeah.
I'm not in that game because, I mean, what we can learn from like what we're seeing now is because you're going to see some really upset people when they get this the third quarter statement of 401k. Probably not going to be as good as you want, but anyways, I think what we can really learn from them is to break out of the box, because that box is not safe. It's we got to diversify, we got to get connected, we got to you got to be multifaceted. You know, you got to be a multitasker. Just think about grandma that doesn't understand email. Okay.
Right.
Now, do you think she would have any idea what a Palm Pilot is?
They probably think it's some kind of a hot
right.
pocket or something. Can you work on that?
Right, exactly. Or even think about the fact that, a guy could be on the golf course, but he's got his Palm Pilot there and he can ship all the stuff for his business,
mm-hmm.
he takes a little 5-minute break and he's done what used to take people a week to do. I mean, that is where we need
yeah.
to be. I mean, we need to get out of this old type of thinking.
Yeah. Information superhighway, man. You know.
And just I was
reading this article today about the seniors being the tempting targets of the scams out there. You know, because you know. You understand, more and more baby boomers are getting into getting emails and reading news and stuff like that, you know, on the internet. And I was reading these articles about the seniors being the target of the scams, as far as like the you know a group or where, like a free lunch scams or something like that. And this one lady that on USA Today that. That she was scammed, I believe, like $6,000 or something like that. And she said someone had emailed her that she won $2 million on the lottery tickets. You know, one of the lottery tickets was right in there. Mm-hmm. And she just she gave her a credit card and they cleaned her out. And now she couldn't find her, and she called the cops, and the cops couldn't do anything. You know what I mean? So then,
right.
why do you think the seniors are the tempting targets? Why do they target them? Because they're stupid.
That's a pretty loaded question, because I'm gonna insult grandma if I really kind of say it is like shooting.
Give me your credit card and I have some free lunch for you.
Right. I mean, well, you know, here's the thing. Okay, our generation. Not gonna fall for it. I mean, some people do, but man, you gotta be living in a
numbers.
Yeah. I mean, the question is, if you fall for that, are you also living in a straw house? You know, or you know, like and then that's why I'm saying like it's a loaded question, because now I'm gonna sound mean, you know, to all those.
Right.
I mean, I feel bad about it.
That
does happen, and that they prey on them. But I mean, again. That because you're not connected with what's going on in the world, like you,
yeah,
you know,
have you ever get one of those Nigerian scams on in email?
Oh God, yeah, they come all the time, you know.
Yeah,
they're like,
What was your reaction first? You know, the first time you got to read that email, what was your reaction?
The first time I got one of those, I go, all right, let's see. Oh, what do you need? $10,000? All right, yeah, let me just go ahead and finance that through another student loan. I'm just laughing my butt off. You know, basically, the first reaction was I laughed because, you know, like growing up in this age of these rip-offs and these people setting up these fake offices for a day, one of the great scams. I mean, if you look at it as like a Ponzi scheme, it's just like it's so great. Like the little shops that they would set up, and they would bring people in, and they'd be like, "All right, let's take some modeling photos. We'll get you set up," you know. And then they disappear.
Right.
And that was like the original Ponzi schemes of like the 80s. And now what we're seeing is these people have turned into vampires. I guarantee it's the same people, you know, that came up with that stuff that are like, okay, who can we get now? What can we do now?
You know what's the sad thing about that is? It's like, that's like a real, they won't even stop over there. They won't stop it over in Nigeria because it's, you know, the politicians, the cops, you know, they're so deep into that pocket. And they're actually like, that's like, if I'm not mistaken, it's like millions of dollars a year they're getting, not just from, you know, United States alone, but Canada and other, you know, other countries. Because, they won't stop. And there's nothing we can do. It's like, all we have to do is, and there's a website out there that you can prevent that.
Right, exactly, and why would you stop? You know, like my question never is, you know, like, why are these people doing it? My question is, why would they stop? You know, they already got their hand in the candy dish. You know, they're gonna just keep taking and taking and taking until there's nothing left to take. You know, and then they'll move on again. You know, and do something else. I mean, it's just like it's sad. It's a sad thing. It is, but. But I mean, like the thing was, is like getting back to what I was going to say. That was my reaction. But the first thing I did after I saw that was I Googled it, and you know what happened? It's like all this information came up about how it's a big joke, and you know, and all these people just talking about it. But then there's another side of it where people are talking about people that actually fell for it, you know? And
there's a forum that's like, hey, how do I go about this? Yeah. Like I was going to say, what do you call it? The first time I got that, he said, actually, you know, he provided the number, actually. It was, it was a foreign, it was foreign to me because the number was. So I started calling him and says, and, you know, do this and do that to make an international call. I'm like, so I called the number, and then I actually talked to a lady, you know, some of this with heavy African accent. And I kind of hang up right away, and I was like, that's messed up.
Yeah, exactly.
But they like to target the baby boomers, you know, the 79 million baby boomers as like, I mean, they have like 8.5 trillion in investable assets, you know, so they have money that they can put in, you know, put out there to, you know, to do something. So, I mean, that's $1 trillion, you know, I mean, nearly half of those investor complaints, they said it was involved, or people have done that is over 50, you know, 50 and over. So
yep.
that's and also lottery scams and their fundraising scams. You know, like I mentioned earlier, it was free lunch. You know,
you know,
there's so much thing for free lunch.
You know what I think screwed all those little old ladies? Ed McMahon.
Right.
I think Ed McMahon did it. Because Publisher Clearinghouse, and they're showing up with the balloons.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, here's my chance. Maybe Ed McMahon will show up. You know, all those old ladies, they love Ed McMahon.
No, they do.
I'm surprised somebody didn't put an email out with Ed McMahon in it, you know.
They
like being like, Ed McMahon will come to your house, you know, and you won a date with Ed McMahon. You know, actually what's crazy about Ed McMahon, too, is he's somebody that had a huge falling out financially, too.
Really?
You know? And most people don't know that. Don't know that Ed McMahon has lost almost everything.
Oh, wow.
Due to bad investments. Because, again, and it's the same type of scheme, he had people come up to him and, like, say, you know, I'm an investor with this investment firm. And, you know, basically the same type of deal. I mean, he fell for the same Ponzi scheme. And look at him. You know, he's somebody that people, you know, looked up to. I mean, and he fell victim too. So, I mean, it's just, it's a crazy world, man. If Ed McMahon can have that happen to him, I guess every little old lady can too, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's exactly. Now, the, back to the, you know, as we talked about the, that made up, you know, the one of the oxymoron that we heard about the retirement job. I know that we can, you know, we can learn from the baby boomers because of you know, that's now the media and the government and all that trying to put out there, and it's like, you know, you can even search that on Google or search for your retirement job. You know, I mean, and making it sound like it's okay. You know, there's and baby boomers as retirement attorney, in the 76%. And then it says that baby boomers, they intend to keep working and earning in retirement on average, and expect to retire. Because at 65, I mean, they're thinking, no, I'm going to work more than that. You know, I mean, just and it's not going to happen with my, you know, savings and investings and stuff like that. So they'll end up until they just rot. You know,
exactly.
I think that we can learn. You know, if we look at it, I'm hope that, you know, Generation Xers are not dumb and not, you know, not paying attention, you know, what's around them, which, you know, this is actually what's going on. I mean, you know, you can go out on the street out there, and it's like what, you know, Jay Leno's doing on his, the Jaywalkers, you know.
Yep.
They just, like, you know, approach people and says, ask them, like, basic questions. They can't even come up with any, you know, just any answers, like, who's our vice president, you know. Who's Condoleezza Rice and stuff like that. And I was like, are you serious? I mean, like, these people have been hiding in their cave because there's iPods in their ears, and they go to the internet just to go on MySpace and Facebook. They're not, like, really looking in the, you know, looking around and see what's going on.
Yeah, that's the true opportunist, my friend.
Yeah.
Somebody that just kind of wants to use the internet as their bitch and not really do anything else.
Just like, yeah. I was talking to Krista, the you know, I don't know if she's going to hate me. I mentioned her name online, but the one that works with, you know, with us, you know, that she's, you know, she's pretty smart when it comes to things online, you know, I kind of noticed that, but, you know, when I asked her, I was like, well, you know, you can actually turn into something profitable. Did you ever think about that? And she said, why? You know, I'm like, what? You know,
yeah.
Why? Because you know, really, money is good. And that's something that we can learn from the baby boomers, and also the not smoking, you know, not taking care of yourself, you know, stuff like that. And that's things that we can learn from the baby boomers, because of there's a lot of, you know, there's a handful of people that will tell you, it's like, oh, I don't really care, I'm gonna die anyway, you know.
We talked about that earlier, a couple nights ago, the apathetics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They talked about that. But there's also like people out there that wants to, like, you know, grasp life like it should. You know, they want to take care of themselves. They want to make a difference for environments and for their well-being. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you know what's funny? What's funny about like everything we're talking to is a lot of people that. You know, do a fair amount of the research, and like I try to actively seek as much information as possible, just so I can you know, kind of know what's going on in the world. And
exactly.
And the thing is, the trap that you fall into is like you start to think that you start to get this negative attitude, like, you know, like with you're saying with the people the jaywalking segment. Like you see that every day, and all of a sudden, like you know, you got to fight this negative attitude, because there are a lot of people out there that want good information, that want,
exactly,
you know, that want these things. They want to benefit themselves and they want to benefit society. But like to get out to those people, I mean, like we need to get connected, and we need to talk to people. You know, we need to just walk up and talk to strangers. It's just like the other night when I was at the pub, you know. I don't sit there and put my wall up, you know, and go, I'm here to drink, don't talk to me. And you meet those people all the time, like the people that are like, I'm watching TV, you know, get out of my face, you know.
Can you see I'm texting here?
Yeah, exactly. And I actually remember, like, when the iPod first came out, which, you know, like, it's so funny, the technology comes out and you walk up and you ask somebody, do you even remember like when that came out? Because I do, and I remember the specific effect that occurred due to iPods, and that's why I try to stay away from mine unless I'm wanting to be barricaded in my room just to get away from the insanity of life for a few seconds. But like the first thing that happened was I used to weightlift a lot, and I remember before the iPod, I could ask for a spot without having to tap somebody on the shoulder. And now,
right,
if you go to work out, you're just like, hey, you know, and you're poking them on the shoulder, and it's like this huge hindrance, like to,
like, what do you want?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you know, they got music playing on the radio, but you know, I guess you gotta have the iPod on, it's like, is that safe? You know, like.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, somebody could be saying, look out, you know, a huge weight's flying across the room, look out. And the guy's like, you know, listening to Mariah Carey, and, you know. There probably is some of that. There's probably some, like, you know, bodybuilders that are like, man, I just want to listen to Celine Dion, and more power to him wearing the iPod, you know. That's fine. But it's, you know.
Yeah, there's a hindrance in there. Now, to go back to baby boomer and the survey, and there's only 17% of baby boomers actually reported that they hope, you know, they hope they will never work, again, you know, like after the retirement thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's 17%, man. Some of them, you know, like 42% was like, you know, would work after their retirement because it's something, you know, that they want to do, you know, and get paid for what they're doing. See, I think it's because of, you know, once again, the media and society is telling them kind of a, you know, I'd say this, but it's a kind of a brainwashing one. It says, here's your retirement job, You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there. You know, you are not too going to retire, because when you retire, you don't actually retire, because you know there's always, you know, I know a grandmother, like, you know, she's retired and she does like gardening and stuff. You know, plants. You know, like a garden and stuff like that. And you know, that's, you know, she's not retired. She's working.
Mm-hmm.
See, when I retire though, I want to, you know, I just wanted to do something else besides being tied up with the, you know, with the job. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. Why the heck do you want
to
work?
Why do you want to work?
Yeah.
And it's like, and you see that, like, you see that day in, day out. Like, when you go to Walmart, you know, and when you go to, actually, I used to work with this restaurant.
Cool.
I mean, there's, like, old, you know, old lady there working there, or an old guy that had been working there for years and years and years in there, you know, and they, I don't know if they, doesn't realize, it's like, you know, hey, you know, maybe I should be doing something else, like, maybe, you know.
Well, yeah.
Basic women.
It's like, I always come back to the phrase, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
when are you going to stop, you know, letting other people think for you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When are you going to stop letting other people think for you? It's like trying to tell people, hey, you know what? You don't have to have somebody on the TV telling you how to live life and talking about retirement jobs. Quit listening to it. The internet is here. You can go on the internet and you can watch TV. You can listen to shows you want to listen to. The internet is actually the only real free marketplace of ideas. You know, the FCC does not have their hands on it yet.
Right. That's why we're doing this.
Right, exactly. Because, yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, if I say the other name for a female dog, which I just did earlier, slip of the tongue, of course, you know, it's just like, you know, the FCC would have stepped in there and swatted me across the face. And they're like, yeah.
Scotty, you're across
no,
the face. See, the thing is, I think it's because of, you know, the way they were raised also. It's like those, you know, people that don't think, because they're used to being told what to do. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
They are used to being what they, you know, being leveraged. You know, they're not used to, you know, leveraging other people. You know what I mean? They're not. And then I'm not trying to generalize all of them, but I'm just saying that, you know, majority of you know, our baby boomers are, you know, our parents are like that, and they didn't have that comprehensions of, you know, teaching their kids and say, hey, you know, do something else besides, you know, going to college and work for it, and then maybe get some job after that, and then work for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? It has to start with the parents. You know, just like I teach my kids how to invest and how to, like, let, you know, how to leverage. Let's say, like, see, you know, if you buy this and you buy lemon with it and you make a lemonade, and then you can sell it and it will multiply. You know, but they're planting that, they would have this investment concept.
Exactly. Well, actually, you know, it's funny you mentioned making lemonade out of lemons, because actually there's a funny Well, I guess it's not really funny. It's kind of sad. lemonade.
We'll laugh anyway.
Right, exactly. Actually, in Florida, I think it was Fort Lauderdale, Florida. There was girls that were they were selling lemonade at a lemonade stand. You know, which, you know,
mm-hmm.
you used to see kids doing it all the time. I mean, I did stuff like that when I was a kid. I'd sell like hot dogs and stuff like that when we'd have our garage sales. And you know, and it was great. It was, like, fun for me, and, you know, and actually what happened in Fort Lauderdale is they were selling the lemonade, but they were also selling, extra vegetables that were in their garden. And, anyways, so they're selling the extra vegetables.
That's funny.
Yeah, and so they were selling, like, a squash for, like, $1 or something like that.
Right.
You know? And they had a fair amount of people, you know, stopping by, because actually people are getting away from wanting, you know, like, supermarket goods because of the problems they've been having with them. So they actually want the stuff out of the home gardens. And there used to be a thing called the Liberty Gardens that was during the last Great Depression. You know, like they said, let's have Liberty Gardens. You know, and will you see that today? I mean. I'm not saying the Great Depression's here, but, you know, if it does happen, like, are we going to have those Liberty Gardens, or are we going to, are we going to rely on handouts from our big daddy, which I would call the U.S. government? You know, it's like our parent figure, you know, that's always there being like, no, don't do that. No. But anyways, getting back to the story, I know I get off on these tangents every once in a while. Getting back to the story, so there was a fair amount of traffic that these girls were getting selling the stuff. Well, anyways, one of the neighbors called because she was annoyed with the amount of traffic on her street, and the cops showed up and shut them down because they're like, oh yeah, you can't actually sell vegetables due to the you can't sell like your garden vegetables out of your backyard or something because they're not they're trying to step in and say we're gonna regulate anything you grow for yourself now. So it's like, because you know, it's kind of craziness, you know, it's I think it stems from the fact that people really don't know what's going on in the world anymore. They just really don't know what's going on.
They don't.
They're just sleeping. You know? Like,
yeah, exactly.
I like taking naps too. You know,
they're taking naps. Now, the question I want to ask is like, why is it idea of it? Okay, that's my kid. He learns how to say dada now, and he keeps saying it. Why is the idea of retirement so difficult for it, like, you know, some other boomers and so easy for others, you know? I know that has something to do with money, and I think it's going back to what you said, it's, just knowing what to do. I mean, some other, you know, other people out there, you know, when you ask them, what's your long-term goal? What do you want to do? Well, I don't know, you know? Knowing... And this is the difference between, as I mentioned my last segment, I believe, or the segment before that, you know, the difference between the floater and the planner.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
The floater, the planners tend, you know, I mean, you tend to success. If you want something, you have to plan it. It's not going to happen just in the blink of an eye, you know, just happen. You know what I mean? It's happening.
You got to fall on your lap, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And then because of that, you have to, you know, follow the right path. You have to create that path and then follow it. And that's what I think I can put it out there and hopefully they can, you know, other people listening, like whether Generation X or you know, anybody, you know, just you have to plan, you know, if you want something, if you have a dream, you have to plan and you start something. You know, make that
exactly.
First step. You know.
Exactly. And you know, like obviously you know, we need to take back that that which has been lost, and that which has been lost is the idea that I don't need someone to tell me what to do. And you know, it's like when you're a kid, you know, you're gonna have somebody telling you what to do, but you know, once you get your 20s to 30s, it's like, I don't need somebody to tell me what to do every single day. It's like I'm a functional human being.
Exactly.
You know?
You'd be like 30, you know, 35 years old. You'd be like, you know, Eric Cartman. Mommy, can I watch American Gladiator now? You know.
Well, yeah. I mean,
35 years old. That's
right.
Funny.
Exactly. Well, it's so funny because it's like if you find yourself thinking something at a job, like you know, like if you start thinking in a child-like mentality where you're like I'm sick of you telling me what to do, you know, like, and it's almost like you have these same arguments with the people that are like your bosses that you had with when you were parents, and basically that just tells you you're in perpetual childhood. You're never gonna grow up. You're never going to grow up. You're never going to realize what your potential is. So it's like we need to get out of this old way of thinking, this old way of I'm gonna make somebody else's dream happen. I mean, that's what a job is. You're submitting.
You nailed it right there.
Right. You're submitting to working your butt off to make somebody else's dream happen. That's what you're doing. That's what a job is. Now, put that in the dictionary and teach that to our kids, you know, and teach that to them at a young age and say, you know what? Guess what? If you get a job, you're submitting to somebody else's dream because you are giving up on yourself, you know.
Exactly.
You're basically accepting it. Now,
yeah.
I understand there are certain career paths which are a little bit different, and that I would consider like medicine to be, you know, that's different. But like when you're working within like a corporate structure, unless that corporate structure fits every one of your ideals and gives you the opportunity to do what you want to do and use your creativity, then if it doesn't do that, then it's a job. And unfortunately, that's what exists in almost all of our market is jobs. You know, it's just jobs.
That's just jobs. That's what it is. And then you kind of, you know, you nailed it on making you work for somebody else and you're not doing something for yourself. And because most people like they want to write on something, you know, they want to follow something. And we can all be like, you know, we always got to be, you know, brainwashed on something, and you know,
uh-huh.
like whether it be like in your job, whether it be like in what you believe in. I mean, it's just something that you want to, you know, like myself. I mean, I believe in, I have a very conservative belief, a value, you know, when it comes to, life and my faith and the family, you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm not going to vote for Barack Obama. There you go, I said it. And because of the value, the same value. I mean, you know, his value, Barack Obama's value doesn't, you know, cater or doesn't fit into my fundamental value. You know,
sure.
Palin and McCain does. So that's why I'm voting for McCain and Palin. But anyway, that's the McCain or nor Obama can't do anything for you. You know, to make it successful, it has to be. You know, it has to start. You know, within you. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you have dreams in life and that you want to succeed at being successful, I mean, I don't think Barack Obama is going to give you like, you know, here's $500,000 to start whatever you want to start. You know.
Hey,
that's my thought on that.
Yeah, and you should be respected for, you know, like wanting to hold on to your values, which, you know, you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't experience that much, in this time period. Like people don't want you to have a value system for yourself. You know, they would like. There's too much of this pushing of everybody into the same box. It's like if I don't fit in that box, it's like I'm not going to go in that box. I'm sorry, you know. And if my values are this, you can't make me something else. You know, I'll participate. I'll participate, you know, with other individuals with different value systems, but this whole it's like I just feel like we're trying to be sold so much crap lately. We're just supposed to accept it, and it's just, you know, I at what point do you say, hey, you know what? I've heard enough. I think I'm a human being. I think I'm intelligent enough to make my own decisions, to have my own value system, to be able to, you know, read the scripture and take from it what I want. I don't have to have somebody pounding it down into me. You know, I'm a human being. Intellectually, I can reason. You know, that's the greatest gift, you know, we've been given is the, and for anybody out there, whatever God you believe in, that the gift we've been given is reason. We have reason, you know. And,
right.
and I just feel like so many people have given that up. They've given up their ability to reason, and I think it's a lot to do with fear. People are afraid, you know. But anyways, I actually have to get going. But I was going to leave you with
okay.
two positive points,
okay.
and then I'm gonna head along my way.
Okay.
But basically, I was going to for anybody listening that. It is a parent and has a kid with ADD, which I was diagnosed with ADD. Don't give them drugs. Tell them to. I mean, you should teach them meditation before you give them drugs, because you're the children being born now are the most, like, that's our future. That's the beauty. Like, children are beautiful things. So, I mean, I just wish more people would spend time with their kids and interact with their kids, because I saw a kid on a leash the other day. It just kind of stuck into my head. I'm like leashes are for dogs.
Like around his neck or what? No, it's just on.
Well, man, they had the body harness and.
Oh, the body harness, I think. Yeah.
You know, and
that's not funny.
And
it was just.
And I'm just like, no, that's not right. But
I never had a leash. I was out of leash back then.
Yeah,
so
you know. It's just, you know, just spend some time with those kids and just kind of, I mean, like, maybe, you know, with the world slowing down a little bit. I mean, I just can't see the keep seeing it continuing at the pace it's at. You know, shut off that TV. Go on and enjoy some sun, you know. Get out in the
sun.
They're trying to put our kids on vitamin D. Don't let them do it. Get your kid out in the sun, you know.
Right, exactly. Now, they double up the vitamin D, though, you know. Well, anyway, that's a different segment. But do you have a website where people can plug in to your website, or is that under construction?
It's under construction. Actually, there is a Love One Liners, which is the brainchild of Guimetard Inc. And Love One Liners you can go to it right now, but it is under heavy construction, so you might have some problem getting onto it currently. But I'm actually developing another website right now, which is going to be where my main focus is, which that'll be coming out later. So I'm not going to give out the website name now.
Okay.
Until it's up and running, but loveoneliners.com. That's basically a fun blog and just basically fun, all around fun. So, I mean, that's what you got to have now. You got to have some fun, you know?
Exactly. Well, I just want to thank you for your time, for calling in to be a co-host today. I'm pretty sure we're going to do the segment again next time, and we'll touch on different topics. And I just want to thank you, Jay Bell. All right?
Yeah. Thank you for having me. So,
all right,
hope everybody has a good day.
All right, we will.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Later.
Bye now.
Bye. Now, I just want to touch up on the baby boomers again. When it comes to the retirement and the retirement job, because that's what they don't know that there's an alternative out there besides job that, you know, they pay you hourly or they pay you a salary or whatnot, you trade time for money. And that's the Generation X that can learn. It's baby boomers, not too late for baby boomers. They can still, you know, go get their, you know, start something besides working or besides getting paid per hour, you know. And once again, I would like to take my time on talking about that, because it's just really it's really important when you it's really important when you learn something to apply that to your lifestyle. I hope that you guys learned something today, and I hope that I didn't offend anyone. If I did, I apologize, and that's what we. That's kind of summing up what we do today. So I thank you once again for listening. And this is an upcoming segment. It's going to be on Monday, the 27th. I will be talking to the owner of TropicalTeaCo.com, Will Rhodes. If you are a tea lover and you want to visit his website. That's TropicalTeaCo.com. If you guys want to go ahead and check it out. Once again, I want to go ahead and finish the segment, and I will see you next time.